Blog Talk Radio.
Activate. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
There's no show
that goes on as we continue to go through our roll call. This brother right here. I like to say normally I would go into a soliloquy about the baddest man in show business. But I ain't going to go through all that tonight. What I am going to say is a young man over the last 3 years who has enriched my life and has brought as much into my life as anybody that I've ever encountered just by me, Mr. Edward L. Fairley.
Oh, man.
Yes.
Wow.
There he is.
Golly. How y'all doing? My goodness.
Thank you, brother.
Sir. All right. How y'all doing this evening?
Everything's good, man. How are you?
I'm great. I'm extremely tired. I can't wait till this weekend is over. Tomorrow is the day that 14 young men are going to show all the information, the scriptures, and everything through a presentation to the church body, and have their private induction first, and then to have their public induction. So hopefully, I have a great recording, and I'll be able to post it on the site. Probably
absolutely
the day after tomorrow, so that you all can see it. But yeah, I'm really excited about this group of young men. They went through a lot of trials and tribulations, which is why I named the line Sincere Effort. And one of the boys is autistic. We take away all the excuses, and I wrote an actual play. Talk about thankful, being thankful. I mean, so it's a great show because a lot of people, they think me and my team for what we do with the young boys, but they don't understand how much they impact us. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just grateful that we get to experience the boys and just learn from them. So, but yeah, the young man is autistic, and I had to figure out a way that I could not slow down the young men and how they present themselves, but at the same time give him the same shine. So what I did, I went to my gifting and I actually wrote a play. So it's actually going to be a barber and a guy that's coming to the barbershop across town and going over issues that he's having with his son. So I figured out a way that I can minister to parents the issues that I've been having with them. And while he's going talking to the barber about the issues that he's having with his son, because we have 10 principles that the young men learn, the definitions for, the names of the principles, as well as the scriptures that go with them. And they present them, not sure if you all have ever been in a probate, been to a probate where they're spitting their information and everything like that. So it's the same thing conceptually. So they have those principles. And, of course, you know, they say them in unison pretty fast. But, of course, the autistic boy can't do it that fast. But he learned all the information. So what I did was I wrote out a play, and the actual barber, as the guy tells the story about the issues that he's having with his son at home, he's telling him about when he was a young boy and he went through this ministry that taught him 10 principles in the creed that he uses to get through life. And he walks him through how those 10 principles help him. So what he does, like every time the guy brings up the problem, the guy tells him how this out of the 10 principles aligns with what he should do to help with his son. So when he does that, across town, the boys are getting ready for the show that the people are actually seeing. So they're practicing. So they're saying the actual principles, their definitions in unison. But then it goes back to when the barber's talking to me, he's like, the principle, like principle number one is, and he goes into thought. When he goes into thought, the autistic kid, that's when he plays as his conscience, and he says it by himself, and then brings it back to the remembrance of the barber, and then he finishes talking to the guy. Does that make sense? Are y'all following me?
Yeah, I'm with you.
So like the man said, man, I have issues with my son. You know, he's doing very good in school, and I mean, his grades are great, and he's doing great in his athletics, but his behavior is terrible. And the guy's like, well, it sounds like he has an issue with principle number one. Principle number one is strength, and the definition for strength is I'm strong in mind, body, and spirit. Mm-hmm. So they say that as well as the scripture to it in unison, but then across town he comes back to him. He say, yeah. He's like, well, what's principle number one? He said, principle number one is let me think. When he says let me think, the autistic boy, he says what strength is in the definition, and then he acts as if, okay, it came back to his remembrance. and then he shares what it is with the guy. Then they finish their conversation. So the autistic kid gets to share the same information that everybody else is doing to show that he knows just as much as they do, of course. Exactly. So that's how we're going to go about it, as well as minister to the parents that are having the issues with their kids through the play and allow the other boys to shine by showing all that information to the audience as well. So that's what we got going on tomorrow.
And that's what I am talking about. Eddie, matter of fact, behind the scenes, like, you know, like, after, like, maybe after, it's somewhere in between Christmas and somewhere around there. We need to talk about how, you know, how your program works. Because, I mean, I feel that it is a rite of passage program. And, like I said, I am always trying to, like, put different programs together and see what works out of this one, what works out of that one, you know, so I just need to pick your brain.
That's not a problem. And what's crazy, man, it's no different from a fraternity, man. When we went through our pledging process, you know, I went through 2 months of hell, but got Sundays off. I appreciated that much. Paddles broken on me and all that stuff like that. But all we did it for was to learn about a daggone shield, learn a secret handshake, and pretty much get letters. And that's what these boys, they're going through all of this stuff, which they leave better young men. They learn scriptures and stuff that can help them maneuver through life in a godly manner. But all they're doing is for a red bow tie, a bracelet that says Alpha Omega, and a daggone pin. And, of course, they'll have a whole black suit, because every child should have a black suit. They, like I said, get their bow ties, and they just feel they walk with pride and dignity, man. It's just awesome. So that's it.
Look, man. Look, whatever way we have to get them in.
Exactly.
I can give a rat's hoodle. You know what I told you for you to come in that door, because see, I already know what you're about to receive on the inside of that door. It's gonna make you so much of a better man coming out that door. Whatever I did to get you in there, that's cool. You know, like, man, these ain't no magical beans. These just regular old beans. You know what? It's y'all baby. You know, put them in the pot and cook them. You know, do what you want to do now. You understand? Good. I'm so glad. Now, before I go on this show any further, I have to give shout out some love to our brothers. Thomas Lorenzo Reynolds cannot be with us this evening. He has a family obligation. You know, happy Thanksgiving, brother. Do what you do with the family. You know, first one with the fiance. You have a lot to be thankful for this year. So, like I say, this year fiance, next year wife. So, yo, big up to Thomas.
Yeah, buddy.
Now, the heartbeat of this show, the creator of this whole franchise. You know, like I said, that's the hardest working man in show business. He's got some family things going on. He's taking care of that. He's got some work related things that just blow your mind. He takes care of that. But yet there's some things that's going on with Shadow Worlds, you know, behind the scenes, quiet enough that should make 2016 a lot better, more profitable than 2015. So that being stated, you know, you wish you could be everywhere at once. Sometimes you just can't be here. So,
right.
look, mad love to the one and only Wayne Mr. Naz Holland. You know, you are the man, you're the wind beneath our wings, brother. So, you know, keep blowing the hot air, but he's not waiting to beat the ball in court. You know what I mean? So, you know, if you call in tonight, you call in tonight. You don't. It don't matter. You know, much love. You know, just, you know, when you come back, you know, you be strong as a lion. Like I said, we'll be back the first Friday of December. Like I said, the next Friday, we're taking off, you know, because we're going to have, like, turkey-itis and, you know, sweet potato pie-itis and, you know, Black Friday. We just going to take that one off. So we'll be back following week. Tonight's topic, being thankful, being grateful, giving. What are you thankful for? What does Thanksgiving mean to you? Does it mean turkey and stuffing? Does it mean the National Football League? Does it mean a situation to get together with your peoples? Does it mean just a holiday for a day off of work? Does it mean that Christmas comes in the month? Does it mean I get ready to go shopping for Black Friday? Does it mean, you know, I'm going to take this opportunity to take a step back and look at all of what thus the Lord has done for me and take the time out to say thank you, God. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my friends, my surroundings, the clothes on my back, the roof over my head, the food in my refrigerator, the bastion of warmth that I'm in the middle of right now. I'm so thankful. I'm so grateful. 1,001 things that I know about, and 1,001 things that I have no idea that you protect me from, or you keep me from, or you hold me up. I don't know how to. I don't know how more to say. I love you and thank you. You know, is that where you're coming from? So we're going to take a time out just to take a step back, and we're going to talk about gratitude, about mm-hmm. being thankful, about being grateful for those who are in your life, for those who, you know, who produce benefits. Who taught you about gratitude? How did you learn about it? How did you find out about it? We want anybody to chip in. You know, we put it up there online. We put it out there on Twitter, in the Twitterverse, as well as mm-hmm. on Facebook. So you call us at 646-478-4507. Because, like I said, we're taking on all callers tonight, that's for sure. But we're talking about, you know, being thankful and being grateful. Jamie, my brother, I'm gonna start off with you. All right. Now, like I said, everybody knows our definition of what Thanksgiving means and what being thankful or grateful is changes as we've gotten older. But I'm gonna ask two questions. I'm asking for everybody. I'm gonna answer the question myself. One, who taught you the most about gratitude? And then part two to that question is, who do you feel that you taught the most about gratitude to?
That's an excellent question.
You were the mentor. At one time, you were the mentor. And at a certain point, you become the mentor. Mm-hmm. So, who's the one that gave you the key to the castle? And then later on, who's the person you gave the key back to? Okay, we'll start with Kingdom Work Daddy.
Yes, sir. my late great grandfather, Albert J. Sims, gave me, he definitely mentored me. And when I was younger, I actually didn't know it, but it's like when somebody's gone, you hear a lot of the stuff that they said while they were alive. And he was like, damn, if I just would have
paid attention.
I heard what he said. I wasn't listening because I went through that stage in my life where, you know, I was a preteen, a teenager, and he passed by the time I became a young man, but I thought I knew everything. He would just say stuff like save your money, like, you know, look at the family when you're dating or marrying somebody. Career, that's gonna be good for you. You know, try to buy a house. Like, he would just say so many things and mentoring me. And I would just say, Okay, I get it. And I guess from his generation, you know, to my generation, it was just like, wow. I mean, the stuff that he instilled, he tried to like not constantly get on me about it, but he said, you know, I'm talking to you before life's lessons hit you, because once life's lessons hit you, then you're gonna be wondering about some of the things that anybody said that make sense at the time, because what you're going through isn't gonna make sense. So if I can cushion, you know, some of your lessons, I can't stop them, I can't detour them, but if I can cushion some of them, then you might be all right. And you know, to me he was a great man because he just instilled family. And I give thanks to that because I remember, like, I was the firstborn. Well, I am the firstborn grandson on my side. And I can just remember having birthday parties when I was little. And the family was there. I had, like, two or three friends, my main homeboys. But it was family. And then it was the neighbors on each side. And it was just like, to me, it was just like a mini reunion. And then those things that he taught me, the thanks and the life lessons and the mentoring, I took and I held them. I think I suppressed them for some reason. And it seems like now, later on, I'm looking back, and it's just like, you know, that long hallway with that one door at the end, and it's like you open it. It's like all the things that he said to me, you know, throughout his life. And it was just weird, and it was just crazy how, you know, I remember some of the things so clearly. So at this point, excuse me, I pass them on to my children, not just, like I said, not just my son, but my daughter. As well, I took what he said and I tweaked it just a little bit, and some of the stuff I just basically quoted from him. And my son, he has the blueprint. He's fine. My daughter's, she's getting it. It was funny because she asked me so many questions, and then of course I answer all the questions. But, you know, sometimes when I don't have the answer to them, I try to go back and think about what, you know, my grandfather, who's my mother's father, what he said and the things that he stood for. He was a correction officer, and the things that he did, and, you know, having five kids and just what he went through as, you know, being an architect, not being an architect, excuse me, thinking about going to art school for being an architect. He was a great a drawer, and he knew how to do the stuff, but he said, you know, kind of like in that era, it was kind of hard because he was black. And I was just like, wow, you know, some of the things that, you know, he had to, for his family, as well as, you know, sacrifice just to keep his sanity, man. Because back then, I mean, we're going through some stuff, a little bit of stuff right now, but we didn't go through anything like they went through in that era, you know. And for them, and for men to be married, have kids, stay with your wife, you know, do all the right things, raise your family, and talk to us about it, and then have me pass it on to my kids. I mean, I can't, you know, be any more grateful to him, you know, now that I think about it, you know, now that I really sit down and think about it. And I also think about the humbleness that I have, and I give thanks for going through the things that I've gone through in my life. Sure, I think about him probably being disappointed in me for going to jail and all that stuff, but all I think about now is him saying, like, okay, you ain't going to make this a pity party, so what's the next chapter? How you going to get through this? Let's see what we're going to do, you know, because he always wanted the best for his kids as well as his grandkids, man, and he was just a true rock. And I think that, like I said, him mentoring me and then me passing it on to my son and my daughter, you know, the best thing. I can't ask for anything more, man, especially around this time, because I do miss him.
That's what's up. That is totally what's up. Eddie, take the ball.
Man, you know what I love about the show? I love that we don't know what the heck we're going to experience before we get on the show, which the reason why is because you have no choice but to be authentic. You can't be scripted. You can't do research on your answer. How can I say this so that people will feel like I'm dropping some knowledge or I'm intellectual or whatever?
It's
real. And I love it about this show. But I never thought about this damn question. The questions that you posed, and I just love it because I love self-reflection. So I appreciate that. I think there's two things that taught me gratitude. One, hands down, Haiti. My Haiti experience, I had to live in Haiti for had to live in Haiti for a year. When my father got out of prison that year, I think I was seven. I had to live in Haiti for a year. And when I lived in Haiti, my mother's then Haitian boyfriend, he was abusive for the first several months. He thought the best way to get us to learn how to speak their language was to whoop us every time he caught us speaking English. So had to get beat. But from that, my mother did not accept it, so she left. Now, we left in Haiti, a place we don't know how to speak their language. We're not from there. So we ended up in a house that was not built yet and in a garage. So we lived out of the garage for the remaining, I believe, 6 months that we were there. So from that, because my mother and sister, they were scared of animals, I literally had to learn how to kill food and stuff for us to eat. And we didn't have any plumbing. We didn't have any electricity. So taking big buckets of water and pouring it over you outside in the cold or whatever, well, cold mornings, tropical location. So as the day gets, I guess, older, it gets hotter. But in the morning, you know, pouring buckets of water and you becoming the washer machine and dryer, like literally washing clothes with a big ball of soap and you know, actually ironing clothes with a some kind of iron that you put hot coal in order for you to iron the clothes. It was just, you know, going to the bathroom in the outhouse, walking those miles to pump water from a well or a water pump or a well to get water. Those things are what caused me to just appreciate everything. I remember, I was just talking about this a few days ago. I remember my first kill. I had to kill a chicken, man, and I'm scared just as much as my mom, and I'm scared, but I had to do it in order for us to eat. I slipped the neck of the chicken, and I didn't do it all the way. So I watched the chicken suffer and turn blue and, you know, start gasping. It was just the worst experience ever. I mean, ever. And, like, these are the things that I had to, hell, for no pun intended, man up about and learn how to survive, put the chicken in the hot water, pluck off all the daggone feathers so that we could eat. My mom and them were not going to do it. They'd rather starve than to catch and then kill a chicken or any other animal that I had to kill. So, those humbling experiences to come from Jersey City, really, to go to Haiti, I literally had a Back to Future experience. So I listened to these older people that make these little jokes, or sometimes it's truth where, you know, I used to have to walk 2 miles to get the bucket of water and all this stuff like that, and, you know, they laugh, and I don't laugh. I'm like, that ain't funny. Yo, I did that. You know what I'm saying? I experienced that. You laughing and joking about some real stuff like that. But I thank God for it, because at the same time, what I realized that God has done was he put me in a predicament that allows me to communicate to my generation as well as the older generation. So my experiences allowed me to be able to communicate and even empathize with both worlds, which allows me to be an excellent communicator. So all of that was preparation for who I am today. So, but Katie, by hands down, the best experience that allowed me to actually just to be humble and just appreciate everything. Which is interesting too, because they have some kind of simulator where they're bringing Africa to here. So we're taking all the boys to this simulator where they created African homes and huts, and they bring it to the U.S. so that you can sit into a hut and see how they live and feel. So I kind of have a way to show my boys, to kind of let them have the humbling experience as well for the boys that we mentor. That's actually on Sunday. Then the last one would be my father, and that's because I got to see what me doing the wrong things with my gifts, because I promise you we have probably the same exact gifts and talents, would do if I took the wrong course with my gifts. So
right.
He humbled me in how he used my gifts so that I wouldn't ruin them. So it's so crazy to say, but I thank God for my dad's mistakes, because I was on the wrong on the road to the wrong. I was using my gifts for the wrong way before I met him, when I first met him as well. So that him and how he responded to God's gifts to him, knowing that we shared the same ones, that was where my gratitude and my humility came from as well, because it really helped me to realize where my gifts and stuff come from. And just like the person that gave the gift can give you the blessings behind the gift, you can take them away, and you can struggle when you realize that they're not yours anyway, really. They're yours to share, but not in a manner that don't align with who gave you the gift. So that those I don't want to say those two things, but my dad and Haiti are what caused me to be so humble and appreciative of, I mean, literally everything. There's nothing that I can't receive or get. And I mean, and people laugh because they think I'm joking, but when you put food on our plate when we lived in Haiti, my mother and sister would tell you, everything left the plate, including the bones. We ate the bones. There was no throwing, nothing was thrown away. We ate rice and beans pretty much every day. On Sundays, we ate meat. Whatever kind of meat that was the time that you ate meat. And we ate everything, literally every bone. And I saw my mother act like she wasn't hungry, so we would have enough. And it was an amazing experience. Like I said, I didn't understand it or appreciate it then, but Haiti was the best thing that could have ever happened to me. The best thing.
All right, Eddie, now part two of that question. Now we learned what has given you your sense of humility and humbleness and the ability of being thankful and being grateful. Now, who have you bestowed this gift upon? Who have you given the key to?
Now, I'm teaching my children, but I can't say that I know that they got it until I see the fruit of
that. Exercise.
But I can honestly say that there's one young man that I literally saw him receive it. I took the young man that we mentor, I think it was 2 years ago. We took him to D.C. to feed the homeless. And we made 100 plates. We drove him from Virginia to D.C. For us to do lunch. And when we parked our van, because we let the people that we that knew we were coming know that we were coming to feed the homeless, whether they knew that we were coming or they're just accustomed to people that pull up in vans or what have you to have food for them, they clearly were ready. So when we parked the vans, I mean, the people hauled tail to get in line to eat. And the boy that was sitting next to me, he got so weak because one of the guys looked like he damn near broke his neck. And he was old, like really old, and he hauled tail to get in line. And he said, dang, look at that dude. And he just got so weak. And I didn't crack a smile. And I said, he said, dang, why? He laughed and said, dang, why are you running so fast, whatever. I said, because he thinks if there's only 50 plates, if he's number 51, he ain't going to eat.
Right.
And his whole face, like, changed. And, I mean, I have pictures of he was the one that was passing out the most food and making sure that everybody that he could feed ate. And I literally saw him receive it and just understand. Because he went immediately from that laughing and giggling, thinking that what looked funny. I can't lie and say that the guy didn't look funny in his approach, but me understanding his thought process and his hunger did not allow me to see it as humorous. But he got it. I'm like, 51. If we got 50 plates and he's 51, he does not eat. Plain and simple. Just like a shelter, if you know, if they only can take a certain amount and you're that last one, you don't have a place to sleep. That I saw him and just his approach to things in life since then, as I watched him grow, I know he gets it, and he's grateful for everything, as well as the camping trips that we do every year. We intensely take no cell phones, and we literally have to. We will take we take our baths in the lake or whatever, and we do a fire. We got to put our tents up before night falls and all that stuff like that, and it just really gives them an appreciation of just what they take advantage of every single day.
Amen. Amen to that. Now, brothers, on the line is the one, the only, it's the Siggy Special Signature, darling. How are you this week? Sig, I know you there. Hello.
Leave me alone, y'all. I'll be playing my phone. How's everybody?
Everybody's well, thank you, thank you. How you doing?
Great to hear from
you. Siggy, the topic of tonight's show, we're talking about gratitude and being thankful. We're in the season of Thanksgiving, and how, you know, we need to count it not as robbery that, you know, we've been blessed so much to be able to have family and friends, be able to have food in the refrigerator, be able to have a roof over your head, rather have clothes on your back, shoes on your feet, a job, a car in the driveway. You know, all these things were not promised to us, they're not granted to us. There's a lot of people that don't have any of these things, but we've been so blessed to have them. You know, so we're talking about being thankful and being grateful for all of our blessings. Health. You know, some people are in terrible health. You know, you're wiggling your toes. You know, you can stand up in the morning. You can see, you can talk, you can hear. You know, you don't have heart disease. You don't have cancer. You don't have this. You don't have that. Only to God be the glory. So, you know, let's be grateful for what we have. So we're talking about gratitude tonight. So we want to know from the Siggy Special, what is Siggy most grateful for, and what is, and also, the two-part question that I asked the brothers is, who taught you about gratitude, and who have you? Then, on the other hand of that, is who have you taught about gratitude? Girl, what are you eating?
Let's see. I'm thankful for the opportunity to be me. I'm thankful for those who came before me that opened the doors that allow me to be me and to do what I do, because there's no way 60 years ago a little black girl could do what I've done in strides in my life. As far as being humble and being grateful, I was explaining to a group of kids just the other day, your humility comes from within. It's a personal conviction for yourself. And if you have to brag about it and say you do this, you do this, you do that, then you're not humble. You're just bragging. And this little boy was just his look on his face, and then when everything was over and we were talking and he asked me would I have a conversation with him outside, and he said he never paid attention to that because he realized after I said that he does. He brags about everything that he accomplishes, he does, the fact that he breathes, whatever. He just brags about everything, and he does it in a way that whenever somebody else says something, he has to one-up them. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
I see it on
so we were talking about that, and he was saying it drove home that I was talking to them at that time about it, because he was wondering why he didn't have friendships that lasted long. And I said people tend to get a little frustrated with certain personalities, certain attitudes especially, and they will pull away from you. And if you dial back and really become humble and have humility within yourself, you'll be fine. So I see that in him. I see it in my kids because it's the way they were raised. It's how it's always been. And we do the drives for the homeless and the food shelters and everything. We adopt a family anonymously. We used to do it just for Christmas. Now we do it from beginning of school through all the holidays to help people out. And I never forget when my son was younger, my oldest son goes, Mom, why don't we tell them who did this for them? I said, because there's no humility in that, and that is not the purpose of it, because this you do from your heart, not because you want to be recognized for it, not because you want to say, look at me. And you don't want to make anybody feel bad. You want to make somebody feel good. They never need to know where it came from. Count it as a blessing, pay it forward, and keep it moving. And the thing is, we always talk about being thankful and grateful this time of year because of the holiday season is among us. But I challenge everybody to be thankful and grateful each and every day of the year. Because regardless of what you have or don't have, what you're going through or not going through, number one, you're not the only person going through it. You're not alone. And as a song, my favorite gospel song, Be Grateful, says there's someone else that's worse off than you. That's my two cents.
Cool.
Yo. Sorry for the technical difficulties going on beyond our control. But this is just one of those nights. But Blog Talk is acting a lot better this week than it is last week. So, I mean, hey, what can we do? What can we say? As far as being grateful, because I never answered the question myself, so I figure I owe it to everybody else to answer the same question. My grandmother taught me when I was a young man that this world ain't about me. That everything that I have gotten or I have received is because of who I can give to and who can receive from me. We're all connected to one another in one way, shape, or form. We all are a part of one another in one way, shape, or form. So don't take it that, you know, that you've done something so special or you're something or someone so unique that you are deserving of whatever it is that you receive. You received it because you have proven that you could be a good steward of it. So that life lesson has always sat with me my entire life. I have always, or I've often tried to make sure if I had, that everybody else had. If I could do it, you could do it. If I had access, you had access. You know, from feeding people at Thanksgiving to feeding at Christmas time to make sure kids have toys, things of that nature. I mean, I've always been that cat. But I've always been that cat because that was the dude that my grandmother raised. So I would give that to my grandmother. When I look at my daughters today and how they go the extra mile for anybody, everybody, I mean, doesn't make a difference. They will take out of their, they'll take their lives in order to make sure that others have. And when I look at them and I look at their actions, it reminds me so much of my grandmother. So it comes around full circle for me. It was given to me within the house. I gave within the house. I mean, I've given without, I mean, externally too. There's other people that have, you know, taught a lesson or two about. But the ones that resonate the most are the ones that are closest to me. So I would say my grandmother and my children. So for both of those, for both groups, I am entirely blessed and extremely grateful for. So yeah, that's my two cents. That's my story on that one. I believe that one. Now, as we enter the last 15 minutes, because this show is only an hour show for tonight, we can do a wham, bam, thank you, bam on this one. I want to go to each and every one of you, and I want to ask a question. And the question is, what have you received from this platform, and what would you like to see others receive from this platform moving forward? I'm going to start it off with Siggy, then Jamie, then myself, and then I'm going to end it with Edward L. Fairley. So go ahead, Siggy.
What I receive from this platform is reassurance that black men can come together and do something other than dance on the street corner and play basketball. I enjoy the conversation and the topics and everything and the views and the fact that we don't have to agree, but we can still have a conversation about whatever the topic is. I enjoy the fact that we take the hard look at the issues of the day and that we take the time out to have fun sometimes as well. And I just want to see that continue to make sure that we are giving the audience the same message that we started off giving. How many years has this been now? Oh, my God, I forgot. Yes, 3 years ago. I want to see that to continue. It's a program that I look forward to, and I've always said it, best Friday night date ever.
Jamie, my man, you got the ball.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, this show has allowed me to reveal myself to so many people that I, of course, don't know. I actually revealed myself two other times. Once when I had was doing a podcast, and the other time when I had my website up. But to reveal yourself and strip all your layers off and let people know, you know, certain things are going to be all right. It's what this show has helped me do, because I think that so many people don't understand how many more people are going through the same thing as you do, because we don't go around just telling people our problems because of that old cliche, like, listen, you know, I have problems of my own. You know, nobody wants to hear them. I think this show allowed me to reflect, because on my birthday for the past couple of years, I usually don't celebrate my birthday on the day I was born. I usually celebrate it. I usually reflect on that day and celebrate it either the day before and or the day after. But that day, I just reflect on the year and what I've done, what I've accomplished. And this show, to me, seems like every Friday, you know, is my birthday, because it gives me a chance again to reflect on things when you bring up a topic, or I strip down and strip through the layers and say, okay, this is what I'm going through, the andropause thing, and or, you know, talk about my grandfather. And you talk about yourself again and other family members. So this show really is more or less me saying, you know, here I am. And I know there's others out there like me, you know, whether it's similar or whether it's different. You know, the ideas and what we go through, you know, will help us come together and understand that, you know, gender, men, you know, we are human beings as well. You know, let the machismo stuff go. Talk about these topics, get through them, seek help, and, you know, just be better for everybody else around us. So that's what this show really, really does for me. And again, as a new member, you know, I want to appreciate the ladies and gentlemen who have allowed me to join this great new family and proceed forward in the future with some more great shows and great topics.
You've been an excellent addition.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm gonna cut in this in the middle of this love line. Little I'm gonna hand it off to Ed Waddell. But like I said, you always let your home run hitter hit for it. You know what I mean? So I'm gonna hit third on this. All right. This platform. 4 years ago, I was hosting a party. It was a Toys for Tots Christmas time.
Okay.
Around this time of year. I hadn't seen my man Wayne in probably about maybe 2-3 years. And we hook up at this occasion. And we were talking about, you know, there's no resource for us. I mean, me and you could kick it. I mean, look at a lot of our boys. They're dead. They're in jail. They're out there in the street wandering lost like they were dead or were in jail. You know, where is the resources that will, you know, where are the answers to help us to become accountable? Who helps us to keep our feet to the fire? Helps us to, you know, our sisters are looking for men to truly be men and to be head of their household. But where are we? You know, where are we? We're right here. And some of us can't even be seen, and we're right here. And I'm like, you know, we just have to man up. Simple word out of my mouth. We just got to man up. He goes, this is the greatest idea I've ever heard of. I said, what's the greatest idea you ever heard of? We need to man up. I said, well, dude, that's what you just said pretty much. I just convinced it. And he goes, well, no. We need to put a forum together. We need to do a show, the Man Up show going on. Now, of course, you know, I realize I think my man is, maybe he's on some Quaaludes or something like that. I don't know. It's still this holiday, this punch. You know, there was eggnog, and there was stuff in the eggnog, too, might I add. So, okay, I'm going to let this go. No, this man turns around by February. 1 month of preparation time in February, he comes off and he launches this entity. From that point on, he added Edward L. Fairley to the program. By that April, he added myself. There was Black. There's been Tom. There's Jamie's on now. There's been a host of people who have come in and out. DeLacy, Oz. There's been a whole bunch of brothers that have come on and have contributed greatly to this. We've had the Siggy special, like the first lady of Man Up, almost from its inception. Raven, I could go on and on and on of the people who have contributed to the success of this show. And most importantly, the over 500,000, I just said it, 500,000, that's a half a million people who have taken the time and found it not robbery to listen to what we've had to say over a 3-year period. So really the stars of this show has always been y'all. We humbly thank you for taking the time out to spend your Friday night or your Saturday afternoons or whatever you choose to share with us. We thank you so much for taking that time to join us and to share with us during these time periods. Going forward, let's just keep giving them what we're giving them, and let's do it to the best of our ability. Whether it's, like I said, this show has a really, really, really good chemistry right now. I mean, like right now, I am so in love with the chemistry right now, it's ridiculous. Jamie, you've added a great amount of flavor, my brother.
Amen.
And, you know, I'm totally grateful for you being here. Like I said, Eddie, if I gush any more over you, man, people are going to have both me and you lock the fuck up. So,
you're crazy. You know, man.
So, man, no, for me to keep going more, how much I appreciate you. Thomas Lorenzo Reynolds, like I said, you are my brother from a different mother, you know, where I'm the outspoken one, you are the quiet one, but we feel a lot about the same things. We go to the same places. We run in the same circles. And like I said, I look to my left, there you are. And I do not take that, I don't take that for granted. I do not take that for granted. And I appreciate you, my brother, to the utmost. And Naz, my God, like I said, he is the wind beneath our wings. Yeah, all these shows,
yes,
all these ideas. It's like I said, it takes a visionary. It also takes somebody who has conviction and faith to go with, okay, this is the vision that I have received. I am going to step out on faith, and I'm going to give it my all. I'm going to put this out here. You know how many times God gives you something? Not because I'm not going to go into this, but how long, let me tell you, God gives you something, and you go, this is absolutely crazy. I need, you know, I'm just fantasizing or what have you. No, he gave you a vision. He gave you something tangible. And because you didn't have enough faith in him, don't blame him when you didn't receive. You didn't receive because you didn't step out on faith, plain and simple. So, Wayne, I give you all the props, my brother, because, you know, you're the one that's made this happen. So, let's, like I say, heading into 2016, let's keep on making it happen.
Yes, sir. That sounds great.
To wrap up the night, to wrap up this show, it's our go-getter. It's our home run hitter. It's our prime-time player. Our
there
most
you go,
valuable
bro.
Player. The main
He's crazy.
Man. Soul man number one. James Brown is gone. This nigga's still here.
Really?
Mr. Eddie. Fairly. Eddie, talk
yes,
to your
sir.
People. Talk to your
man.
People, Eddie.
It's so many things that I'm grateful in reference to this show. I'm grateful for the platform, and I've said that since day one. Just a place that allows me to teach and learn from teaching, because whether you know it or not, I learn just as much from sharing that I do from from listening. Because you learn when you teach, plain and simple. And I appreciate. God allowing me to be a conduit to just share what he pours in me to pour out in you. And what I really love about this is not knowing, but in my spirit knowing that people are receiving stuff from this. Because we don't really have a way of knowing that people are gaining anything from this. We might see the looks or the shares or whatever you want to call it, but we don't know that people are gaining anything. So I like not knowing but knowing that we have people that are listening and walking away either better people or with a solution to a problem that they had. And that's just so gratifying to me. It's fulfilling to me to know that I can go somewhere and learn from sharing and be around people that honestly appreciate me being me. It's hard to find that for anybody. and first, which is another thing that we talk about, you have to be okay with being you to even know that that's possible. But this is just a place where you cannot, you can't leave without knowing that people accept you for who you are. Even if they joke about you, they took the time to joke about something because they took notice of what it is that you have to offer. That's one of the many things that I love about this platform. So I'm humbly grateful for the platform. I always tell Nas I appreciate him. First of all, I appreciate him believing in me enough to share this platform, because this is something that he allows us to be on. Y'all have to unmute my phone. Y'all have to receive my call, call in. And as far as what I would like to see for us, honestly, I want to meet y'all, which is probably blowing anybody who's listening's mind. We have never met each other for the most part.
Yep.
I mean, the people in Jersey, they've seen each other, but we've never met each other collectively, and that is what
right.
I want to see, more of that from us. I definitely want to reach out to and get more call-ins from people, because I know there's more, way better insight than what we have to offer from people that we don't know. So I would love to see that. I'm just grateful for each and every individual that creates this body of Man Up to make it an entire body, and I just appreciate the body part that you've added, which I think is the Achilles. And I say that because I had my Achilles pulled about 5 years ago, and I didn't realize how or how much that allowed me to tap my foot or slide my toe or foot in the shoe. But you are a very integral part to this process, Jamie, and I just appreciate you and every person that's a part of the Man Up Show. Daryl, man, off air, on air, man, I just appreciate the wisdom and how you all forced me to think about the stuff that I'm not smart enough to think about myself. So I just appreciate all y'all. Everybody that's a part of the show, thank you.
Oh, thank you, man.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's it for another week. I do also have another quick announcement, and after that, we're going to wrap this sucker up. Through this porthole, through this experience, I have been struggling with something my entire life. God has saw fit to put a calling on my life many years ago from the time I was born to this very day. I have, though, like a lot of people, I have run from it. Like ran from it based upon feeling of unworthiness. I'm not worthy of what you're trying to bestow upon me. I've always been given the ability to preach and teach God's word. On the 20th of December at 3:30 p.m. at my home church, the Union Baptist Church of Orange, New Jersey, I will be giving my first trial sermon in my walk in the ministry of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So on that date, I am...
Oh, my God. Great.
Congratulations.
You know, I am looking so forward to it. It is ridiculous. But like I said, if it wasn't for this platform, if it wasn't for this group and in this pairing with you wonderful, wonderful, wonderful people, It probably would not have come to fruition, because I've exhausted means of trying to expand upon helping folks without having to take it there. Now, I've always said I don't want to sound too preachy. Well, God said, no, I have every intention for you to sound preachy. You know, I want you to. You have to go ahead and you have to tell them what I told you to say. You know, So, what about me? I mean, Daryl, you have danced around it as much as you possibly can. Now it's time for you to actually do it. So I'm going to go forth and I'm going to do such. But going and doing this, it means I do this even much harder and with, like I said, with all the grace and the humility that I could possibly muster. Because like I said, this show is an operation of the cooperation of many people that God has placed together. Like Eddie said, we have never met each other a day in our lives. Never. We have never laid physical eyes man to man upon one another. Now, as me and Eddie talk to each other at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, absolutely.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could say I've never talked to Naz at 5 o'clock in the morning. I could say I've spoken to Eddie at 5 o'clock in the morning. Absolutely. More than once.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
So I can put that out there. Because me and Eddie, that's the hardest two working niggas in show business. You can call us anytime. It really don't matter. You know, yo, what were you doing? Oh, not much. You know, so what's going on? And we just go ahead and, you know, we'll talk about, well, okay, I'm about to get off of doing this one. I'm about to go to do this now. So, yo, look, I'll holler at you later on. All right, man. I'm going to be sick for an hour between here and there. And that's about it. You know, like I said, that type of camaraderie you don't have with everybody. And like I said, and only God can put that together where, you know, a brother who is from Jersey City, who went to Haiti, came back to Jersey City, now is in Virginia, you know, but still links up with another brother in New Jersey and has this close bond. That's just something that's only God ordained. And then the hook up the Siggy special with Eddie, and this way the Siggy special was hooked up with me and, you know, like, you know, I just don't know what to say. So it has been a blessing. It is a blessing. And as we continue to go on through the end of 2015 and going into 2016, y'all just have seen the tip of the iceberg. So continue to join us. Come on our ride. Please don't forget to hesitate to call us. Chime in on Facebook, Twitter. The ride has just begun. Come visit our website on shadowworlds.com. So until then, but for Eddie, for Tom, for Jamie, for Siggy. Good night. God bless. See y'all next week. All right, y'all. Let's say good night now.
All right. Good night.
Good night, everybody. Love you guys.
Love you too. Bye.
Love y'all, man. Peace.
Playback.